Cecil Shorts in with me, former Texans receiver, on a Tuesday. We're 9 days away from training camp. Am I the only person who is interested in what Bill O'Brien has to say when training camp begins? Yes. I can't be the only one.
Yes, you're the only one in Houston.
But here's why. Here's why. For me, like, when I'm a fan of a team, because we have people texting, and I always get this, and I get it, and everybody has the right to feel exactly how they want. People say, Mike, you are the only person who's interested in what this guy has to say, what that guy has to say. We just want to see the team win. I get that, but they only play 16 to 20 times a year. You know what I mean? Like, these football teams, they only play so many games.
That's true.
So, yeah, I can sit here and I can be like, well, let's see what happens on September, you know, 7th or whatever it is against the New Orleans Saints. But what's the fun in that? Like, what's the fun in being like, all right, I gotta wait basically 8 weeks from yesterday to see what this whole thing is actually going to look like.
Ooh. Yeah, see, the thing is, though, with O'Brien, and I get it, because you want to hear from the coaches, you want to get their perspective on things.
How things are operating, how this weird situation
especially
is
now.
Running.
Oh, yeah, it's so many questions that we need answers for. Like, we have no idea, because they never officially came out. Nobody from the Texans has officially came out and said, the four horsemen is how we're running the franchise.
Like, yes.
No, nobody has
nobody
said
that.
So it's so many questions. And then with that, so many details we would like to know. But to be honest, I just don't think O'Brien's going to say anything. This, based off his history, based off of what he has done in the past, he's never been a guy that has been openly he's always been honest, I feel like, but he's never been a guy that's been openly giving and detailed about what's going on behind the scenes. And I just don't see that changing now, especially something with a situation that was so sticky and that was so well known, maybe.
It doesn't make O'Brien look good.
I think that's
Cecil, where O'Brien was in a tough spot a couple of weeks ago after the game firing, because he could not go out there and be like standoffish or angry, because people would be like, wait a second. You're the head coach of a team who's four games over 500.
Yeah.
You've now gotten rid of two general managers.
Yep.
And this is what I'm getting. Like, people would just not take that seriously.
No.
So I think he was in a tough spot, which is why I think he handled that whole thing the way that he did.
That's a great point. And I think he's going to continue to handle it that way until they come out and say whatever they say about how they're going to run things. Now, in how I view things, he has the final say. So no matter what, it's him calling the shots. Yes, it's the four horsemen. He's going to be the guy calling the shots. At the end of the day, if they want to trade for Trent Williams in week six, he's going to say yay or nay. You know what I mean? If they want to make a move as far as the training camp and they want to cut their last, they're trying to figure out who to cut, boom, he's going to make that last call. So, yes, it's going to be very interesting. I just don't think he'll stay much. I don't expect much for him to be said. Now, going into Kyle McNair, if Kyle comes speak, I think he'll say some stuff. I don't think he'll shy away from anything. I think he'll be out there and he'll answer the questions, and I think he'll do well with that and put us in a position where we have, okay, an idea of what's going on and how things will be ran.
Well, that I would love for Cal to actually speak at the start of training camp.
And that'll take pressure off of O'Brien. So if Cal does that, O'Brien can just worry about football.
I almost think that Cal kind of owes it to Bill to do that. Because if you're running things in this way, and if it's ultimately Cal McNair's decision to fire Brian Gain, which it is, even if Bill has amassed a lot of power, ultimately it's Cal's football team.
Yeah.
If the default answer for everything is going to be, from Bill O'Brien's standpoint, well, organization, or before when they had a GM, well, GM, alignments, best thing for the organization. After Gain was fired, O'Brien kept deflecting to Cal. At some point, I think the owner owes it to the head coach to actually speak for himself and for what his expectations are.
Yeah.
I mean, O'Brien talked about how basically, you know, the expectations, he didn't say this directly, but how, you know, Cal set expectations. He did an organizational review.
Yes.
Well, okay, if I'm going to take that literally, I want to hear from the owner, what are your expectations?
Yes.
Like, if getting to the playoffs and losing to the first round was enough to fire a GM, what does it mean for the head coach? What are the expectations this season? What do you expect this team to do this season for you to be successful?
Do you feel like the owners, I'm trying to think of other owners that's come out and said their expectations, or is it already like if they've been the owner for a while, they probably set them early on, right? So is that a common thing for owners to come out in their first year or so, like, listen, these are expectations for the Atlanta Falcons. I want Super Bowl wins, I want this, I want to be in the community, whatever the case may be. Is that the expectation?
I think it's uncommon. The only reason I bring it up now is because they fired the GM.
Of the situation.
And they kept the coach.
Gotcha.
And it's weird.
Gotcha.
That's the only reason.
Gotcha.
That's the only reason I say it, because I want to figure out exactly what the deal is.
Well, to piggyback off your point, too, Kyle's kind of put Bill O'Brien in this situation.
Well, maybe Bill's put himself in this situation.
Or
and then
Bill's
Cal is
himself.
Then.
So basically, together, they have created this situation. Put it that way.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
I think
together,
that's fair to say.
They're in this situation, and with Kyle being the head. And the owner, right, he needs to, and I don't know if he owes Bill this, but it would be best for Bill if Kyle speaks up and says, you know, has a press conference and says, hey, this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it, and this is why.
Yes. Let's just bottom line this. The Texans, because I know this has been the major topic on Sports Radio 610 for the last 6 weeks, so I get it, and we throw out a lot of names, and it's been... not an everyday thing necessarily, but it's been a pretty constant theme. The bottom line on this is they fired the GM. They haven't hired anybody else. ESPN's reported that they're going to have four guys run things. McClain's been reporting for even longer they're going to have these four guys running things. I think at some point someone from the organization, whether it's Cal McNair or Bill O'Brien, should say, hey, they fired the GM. Here's how things are going to run this season. Like, here's how things are going to run organizationally. Here's what people should expect.
Is that the head coach's job, though?
I think it's the owner's job.
There you go.
I think it's the owner's job.
There you go. So I think Kyle definitely needs to speak up and say something.
Yes.
Because I'm thinking as a head coach, if you have like a list of your expectations and responsibilities, I'm not sure if that's his responsibility, Bill O'Brien, to say all that.
Normally not.
Right.
To me, I would like to hear from the owner when big things happen. When you win a championship, when there's a big move that's made, a big signing, or you fire somebody.
Yeah.
When you fire a coach. And when you fire a GM, I think those are pretty fair expectations. Meanwhile, the deadline for Jadeveon Clowney came and went on Monday. Not a shock to all of us that there was nothing done, no long-term deal done for Jadeveon Clowney. Now, the big thing with this, Cecil, is everybody else who was under the franchise tag this offseason actually got a new contract.
Everybody.
Everybody. So that goes back to DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yep.
It goes to Frank Clark, who got traded to Kansas City and got signed.
Yep.
Robbie Gould, a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
And then Grady Jarrett.
Yep.
Do you view that as a big deal?
Yes. I think it stands out. Everybody, when you're franchise tagged, the goal is to work out a deal, I feel like. They want you. They like you. Let's work out a deal. I can't say that for this situation. And then with Brian Gain being fired, and then reports came out. We don't know if they're true or not, that, you know, Brian Gain wanted to get a deal done, and O'Brien said, no, let's keep him under the tag or whatever. But every single person, so it was six people total. Five of the six got a deal done.
Yep.
I mean, Grady Jarrett came down to the last hour, basically. You know what I mean? But they figured out a deal and then got it done. And he got $17 million a year. That was third highest for all D tackles. That's a big deal. So for those teams to see the importance in that player, to see, like, okay, those players can help, you know, those particular franchises. The coaches, the owners, the GMs, they all wanted to make that deal done because that individual player will help us win and help us in the long term. And this, you look at this situation, it's like the exact opposite. Maybe they just, and I mean, I think it's clear they don't feel like the same way that those organizations feel about those players.
So the Texans put the tag on Clowney in February. So that's now, it's the seventh month of the year, right? That's five months ago.
Yes.
It's 5 months ago they did that. Do you think they had any intention of signing Clowney to a long-term deal this offseason?
I think, for me, I believe the reports. I believe Brian Gain, and I think early on they wanted to get something done, but I think it's a numbers game, right? They wanted something favorable for them, something that wouldn't hurt them, that's safe for them, and then I think Clowney was like, nah, I'm trying to break bank, if that makes sense. So, I do think the intentions was to get the job, to get a deal done.
I think we're mostly on the same page. I don't agree about I'm not sold on the Gain part. I haven't seen any evidence that Gain wanted to do it and O'Brien didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Texans were only going to sign Clowney to a long-term deal if it was very favorable.
Yes, I agree.
I think they looked at Frank Clark's deal and DeMarcus Lawrence, and they said that they're not willing to give Clowney that kind of money. And that's where I disagree with the franchise. I would have given Clowney that money, and I don't think they're willing to.
Yeah, I think he's worth the market, basically. I think Clowney is worth the market. $20 million a year. 5 for 107. I'll give him a little more. 5 for 107. You know what I mean? Something simple like that. I think he's worth the market. I don't think he is a Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack contract this year. But if he has a good year, then, of course, the price goes up for him next year because the market goes up, obviously.
Yes, and so, the salary cap goes up.
Yeah, salary cap goes up, yep.
The big questions on the way with Clowney. What are the expectations for Clowney this season? Plus, with everything going on in the starting rotation for the Astros, how much heat should Jeff Luhnow be taking for everything that happened this offseason? The big questions on a Tuesday next.